Welcome to Hustle with Purpose, the show where driven entrepreneurs and innovative business owners come together to redefine the grind. Dive deep with us into actionable strategies, hear inspiring success stories, and uncover resources designed to transform your business. I'm your host, Jacinta Gandy. Ready to elevate your entrepreneurial journey? Let's get started. Welcome to Hustle with Purpose. My guest today is Marina Menzel. Marina is the visionary founder and CEO of YourSwim, leading the way in revolutionizing the aquatics management industry. With a deep passion for swim instruction, lifeguard staffing, pool management, and first aid courses, Marina's dynamic leadership has propelled YourSwim to the forefront of water safety and education. Some of Marina's accomplishments include she's completed over 50,000 swim lessons, serving more than 1,500 students each swim season. She's a graduate from the Goldman Sachs 10K Small Business Program and the Tory Burch Foundation Fellow. She secured second place in the Carolina Challenge Venture Pitch Competition. And after you listen to this interview, you'll understand why she is a sought-after speaker at entrepreneurial panels and events and an active advocate for small businesses. Marina, while she's a dynamite CEO, her dedication extends beyond her professional life. She is also a devoted mother, and she understands the importance of water safety for families and is committed to creating a future where every child can confidently navigate the water. So without further ado, let's get into my interview with Marina. Today, I am joined by one of my favorite clients and also a friend. I am here with Marina Menzel. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, I am so pumped to interview you today. I feel like every single time we have a meeting, we always just talk about so many great things, like things that you're doing with your business, things we see other entrepreneurs doing in their businesses. So it's really exciting to talk to you today.
I know. I love talking to you in this capacity because you've been so helpful in all of our marketing efforts. And I do feel like we needed a deep dive.
Well, great. Thank you again for being on the show. So I like to start all interviews by asking this question. What's the purpose of your hustle? Like, what's the deeper mission behind YourSwim that motivates you every day?
Oh, it's definitely the clients. So for me, when I set out to start a business, I knew I wanted to make an impact in the communities we were serving. And at that time, all I knew was the powerful impact that teaching someone how to swim at any age had. And for me, it was really about leaving people with a life-saving skill that they could use over and over again throughout their lifetime. That's pretty much what motivated me right from the onset, is providing a skill that could be used over the course of our client's life that provided a lot of safety.
Yeah, such a huge mission, because I think a lot of times people think about swimming like on a surface level, but the reality is swimming is a survival skill.
Yes, for sure. One in three adults know how to swim. So for me, it's also just like, how is this possible? Like, how do people not know how to swim? And then being in the industry for so long, you start to realize, okay, like, we have to provide a better quality service and we have to reach more people. And how do we do that in an effective way? I've learned a lot over the course of the last decade of owning this company. And it's been such an honor to really deliver that type of service to communities. Because yes, drowning is the leading cause of death among children under the age of 4. It is a serious issue that requires attention. And I'm proud to be in the effort to help solve that problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is just like a staggering statistic when you just let it sink in, because like, these are all preventable deaths, right? If the child has the right survival skills.
Exactly. And, you know, I started the company before I was a parent. And I think having spoken to so many parents who are in such desperate need to protect their families, because now in the U.S., 1 in 10 homes has a residential pool. So people are moving into these homes with access to these pools and ultimately don't have the skills or the knowledge to protect their family in their very own backyard. So for me, it definitely is about creating an impact and meeting the mission of leaving more homes with the peace of mind that their backyards and their families are protected. And as a mother of two now, I know that feeling. I know that feeling of having my children, you know, around the bay or in the ocean or around a pool. Like, that is a real fear that until your children know how to swim and until you have the knowledge on what to do to protect your family, like, it is a very, it's a very valid fear. You know, what I want to do is make sure that people have the information and ultimately, you know how to protect their kids and protect their family.
Such a critical mission to have. Mm-hmm. I'm very, very curious. From what I understand, you kind of grew up swimming, right? Even at competitive levels. So what was the pivotal moment that convinced you to turn your passion for swimming into your swim?
I had every intention on being an attorney. I went to law school. I became an attorney and ultimately quickly realized that, like, clients that come to attorneys typically aren't particularly happy. When you go visit an attorney, it's usually 90% of the time not for a pleasant reason. Now, for me, I'm like, I knew that the joy I had during college and while I was in law school teaching children and seeing the validation and seeing the progress with my swimmers in the water, getting the affirmation from the parents, like, wow, this is a really good program. Like, what you've done here really has helped my child progress. I just knew that I needed to make a pivot, and I did it really quickly and decided to go all in on launching the brand and starting a company. So for me, it was really just realizing, like, who is it that I want to serve? I loved going to law school and I think it's a great profession. But for me personally, I really wanted, again, to make that impact with the clients in a way that they would have that tangible skill for their lifetime. And I kind of said to myself, like, okay, well, worst case scenario, the business doesn't do well, I will go to plan B and go be an attorney.
which, a bad worst case scenario, by the way.
Yeah. So I kind of challenged myself with arbitrary type milestones that I would hit. I'm like, okay, well, I'll give it one more year. And then if I do Y, I'll give it another year. And like, here I am 10 years later, constantly hitting milestones. And needless to say, I very much do not identify as an attorney anymore. I am very fortunate that the decision led me to where I am now, because we are in a really exciting growth phase of the business. And I am very much at the helm of a business that I truly feel passionate about in the services and the products we're delivering.
Curious, your family and your friends, like, how did they react when you told them, like, all right, law school was great, but I think I'm going to start my own business now?
I mean, there was quite a few looks of confusion, right? So for me, quickly, I had to prove that this was, in fact, a good decision. And I wasn't throwing away the past 3 years of my life, a huge financial investment that I made. And in fact, that this was going to be something that ultimately, you know, would lead me to where I am at now. And I'm not going to say that that confidence came easy. It took a while for me to take actionable steps and see those actionable steps turn into, okay, like, the proof is in the pudding. Like, right. I can't argue with myself anymore. And I'm not going to argue with other people, right? So, like, for me, that probably was one of the more difficult parts of the journey of becoming an entrepreneur, because I did have such a strong plan B. I almost feel like when you're out the gate and you're like, nothing, I cannot fail, I have no other options, maybe there's a different sense of, like, gusto, but I had to really create that and then combat my own insecurity. Like, oh my God, all my friends are doing this in law school. And like, did I make a bad choice? I sure as heck was not making the money that they were making. So it right. was really my vision and constantly coming back to my vision and seeing myself get closer and closer to that vision and that finish line, which still for me is quite a few years ahead of myself now. But gaining that confidence, you're like, okay, wow, I can do this. And I'm good at this. Not only am I good at this, this doesn't feel like work. This is truly something I'm passionate about. this is a vision that I'm seeing come to fruition. Who am I to not give this right back to the world? Like,
yeah, I have absolutely.
To do it. I'm a better CEO of Euroswim than I would have been of practicing law.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, that's a journey that I feel like so many people can relate to, right? Because you had a calling, right? And like you had already made concrete steps to take your life in a different direction. Mm-hmm. And so I think it requires a lot of courage and bravery to be like, you know what? I'm going to try this other path because I feel like this is my destiny.
It's funny. I had someone describe it to me as the like F it moment. People are going to look at me like I'm insane. People are not going to understand, you know, whether it's you leaving corporate America, whether it's you returning back to work 10 years after not being in the professional world. Like there's so many choices that might seem odd to other people. But for me, that choice in that moment to pivot and to at least try,
right?
I knew that if I failed, that at least I could go on saying like, I tried to be an entrepreneur at this point in my life. It wasn't the right business or the right time, whatever the case may be, but at least I tried. And I knew that at some point entrepreneurship would cross my path because I always wanted to lead a team and see a vision from start to finish. So I was hoping that it would have been this concept, which I'm very grateful it was. But I knew if it wasn't this, then it would be somewhere further in my professional career.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And I know as you were talking, you kept saying, if I fail, right? And I think that's how we always think about it when we frame up these big changes, right? Like starting a new business. Well, what if I fail, right? And I think, at least in my own experience, it's like, well, of course you're going to fail. You're going to fail at 100 different things, 100 different ways, right?
Yeah.
But like you pick yourself back up, right? And you move forward. So I'm curious, was there any like really big challenges that you overcame during the early days of Euroswim?
I think the biggest challenge was it is lonely, right? So I founded a business with no partner, with no advisory team, with no mentors, really. Like, I would not recommend that. I think if I were to go back, one of the first things I would have done was look for people that have done something that, you know, you're aspiring to do, even if it's not in your industry or space. I'm always so surprised, even now, how willing people are to give advice, have a cup of coffee with you, like give you all their failures so you don't make those mistakes. Even people in my own industry, like I have a lot of very friendly competitors that I'm so grateful to have those relationships with. So I think in the beginning, it felt lonelier than it probably needed to be, because I felt so like siloed in my own like entrepreneurial hustle and trying to make it work and learning through experience. There are kinder ways to do it to yourself. I was in my mid-20s, so I was like up till two, like that whole grind culture.
Right.
I have young children in my life now, so like that's not something that I could really prescribe to. But I do think that in the beginning, just being lonely and not having someone to kind of vent to when you are going through difficult times, because to your point, you will. Business yeah. is about constant failure. Just when you think you have it figured out, your business shifts or you're forced to make a pivot or your biggest client doesn't renew you. You know, there's so many things that come your way. And it's that muscle memory of knowing like this is a challenge, but I've overcame so many challenges in the last decade or last year. Like I'm so well equipped to deal with this next challenge my way. And that's really what business is about. It's about managing those challenges. And when you have resources, when you have mentors or an advisory board or, you know, our relationship, right? Like I yep. know I can give you a call and say, hey, have you dealt with this? Or, hey, can I vent to you about something? It's so incredibly important. And it's something I wish I would have reached out to more people who could have provided more guidance in the beginning, but definitely learned along the way. I have a great support team in-house. I also have a great moral support team with other female founders, other people in the industry. So now it's like, okay, here's the problem. Let's talk it through and come up with a resolution.
Yeah. And I think that is really, really like such tremendous advice for, you know, new business owners, like having community, right?
Yes.
Having people that you can really bounce ideas off of, right? Mm-hmm. If you're just having a tough day, right? Having yeah. someone that you can call and you can vent about these things too. Because I think that like, particularly as women, there's this tendency of like, okay, I can do it all, right? Because we're just used to like solving everything for everyone, right?
Of course.
So sometimes it's hard to make that extra step and just say, it's okay for me to admit that like, I need help, you know? Yes. I might have ideas or I might think this is great, but it's kind of like you have a team of one, right? So it's like you're bouncing ideas off yourself, which is not really helpful.
Or like your spouse or your best friend or your mom, all really valuable people to have in your support network. I'm right. not saying not to, but it is really nice when you can share your entrepreneurial journey with someone who's also experiencing, whether they're at the same growth stage that you are or whether they just started and you're the mentor providing that feedback. Like a lot of times for me, I'm like, people will come look at me for advice and I'm always honored because I was like, wow, okay, like I've learned a thing or two. Like I'm happy to share. And I learn again, even just mentoring people that are launching businesses, I'm learning. And then I go to my mentors like, hey, guys, here's where I'm at. Do you think this is a good offering to my community? Is there a challenge that I'm not foreseeing? Like, have I thought this through? Play devil's advocate. So there's so much benefit that could come, especially when you're launching and you're in those preliminary stages. Strongly suggest reaching out to resources within your network to, you know, kind of help in that process.
The saying goes, you don't know what you don't know, right? Mm-hmm. And I think particularly like when we engage with a lot of entrepreneurs, sometimes especially, I think the gift is like when we're not in the industry, right?
And oh, absolutely.
To kind of be consumers a little and be like, but why are you doing things that way?
Oh,
like
God.
Help us understand.
Yep, absolutely. You know, I've been really fortunate to be a part of a few like accelerators and fellowship type programs. And the best advice always comes from people not in my industry. Talking to friends of mine in service-based industries and just learning from what their sales cycle looks like or how they are growing their business or when they, you know, are trying to bring on a sales team. Like, it's just so interesting to learn from not within your space. And I've obviously learned a lot from you, right? Like, I know what I'm not as an entrepreneur. We've had this conversation. It's like you wear like 1,000 hats a day, right?
Yeah,
like I'm the swim teacher. I'm the marketer. I am the CEO. I am the sales rep. I am a customer service agent. So because of that, you know, you're good at everything. You're multifaceted. However, as you start to scale, you quickly learn like, okay, here's what I am and here's what I'm not and here's what I need. So creating those relationships with vendors who could really support you through that process with their level of expertise, very, very important to growth.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious, and because I think one thing to know is that you're not just a business owner, you're actually a franchise owner. What inspired you to make that shift from just being a singular swimming school to embracing a franchise model for your swim?
So when I had launched years ago, I kind of always had it in the back of my mind that I might want to shift into a franchise system. And for me, I saw the benefit that an owner brought to the table in terms of like learning their community, learning the needs of their community, learning how to best deliver the service. So I right now have swim schools in New York and Connecticut, and my clients were delivering, although it's the same service, in different venues, in different forms, right? So I think having an owner invested in the brand and invested in their communities was the way to scale. So for me, when looking how to best scale, whether it's Marina opening up a swim school in Florida, it just didn't feel quite right because I didn't know. I knew the service was on point, but I wanted to make sure that the team and those invested boots on the ground were going to be able to deliver to the customer. And I'm confident, especially now since we just sold our first franchise, the quality of the brand is protected because people are truly invested in making that same sort of impact in their community in a way that with best efforts that I would try to deliver that quality to Minnesota and Florida and California, I just knew that I couldn't quite do it without the support of owners. So for me, looking at all of my options in terms of whether I was going to scale through more of a corporate management type style or with franchisees, it was a clear winner that I wanted to scale that way. And my first franchisees have constantly validated that as the correct decision because they're truly so invested in their community and creating such an impact and delivering the service and the brand that I've created. So it's been really exciting to grow that way. So I'm looking forward to more Your Swims throughout the country.
Becoming a franchise owner, it's not talked a ton about in the entrepreneurial community, but I feel like it's such a huge secret unlock. Like if I could go back and start all over again, I would be like, let me just become a franchise owner because you actually are working with someone who has already done the hard work and basically built a blueprint for you.
Oh my God, I can't say enough. So I've obviously like geeked out on all things franchising. I've read every book. I've spoken to every consultant and expert in just franchising in general, and I agree with you. If my children came to me and said, hey, mom and dad, I want to start a business, that would be the first place that I place them. Exactly to your point. You are getting mentorship. You're getting training. You're getting all those things that I didn't have in the beginning. Access to vendors, suppliers, marketing material, website. I mean, there's so much that goes into a proper launching of a business, especially a business that has different pricing offerings. And, you know, it's a people-facing business, right? It's like you want to be in front of the people. You don't want to be worrying about like a website design or how to create this perfect ad. Like we provide that for our franchisees. They get to do what they love, speak to the clients and deliver our services. And to me, there's no better way to do that than franchising. And I agree, it is a secret. 10% of all businesses are part of a franchise system. I really think that especially nowadays, people just want to get going. Franchising is such a great opportunity.
Yeah, 100%. What advice would you give to someone that is looking to franchise their business? I mean, I'm sure you probably write a book about it, but if you had to, is there any like common misconceptions they should be aware of?
So you do have to, this franchising, and I'm coming to learn this, I knew it before, but coming to experience it, it is a long-term game, right? It is very much about making sure that your system of operations is in order, your operating procedures are in order, and you are really truly recruiting and awarding franchisees that really reflect your brand and your vision. It does take time to build that correctly, right? So for me, it is a very long, you know, it's a long-term game. And with that being said, there obviously are a lot of investments that go into franchising your business. But if you have a business that is scalable and that has really strong operational type procedures that could be duplicated, it's such a fantastic way to spend the time putting those procedures in order, work with consultants and attorneys that will help because that's part of it, and finding the right people that reflect your brand. So are there pitfalls? I think trying to do it on your own would not be something I would recommend. I felt like for me, especially having launched a business on my own, and I was like, okay, anytime I'm launching something, I'm coming up with experts. The people could offer the advice. This is what they do. They built multiple brands and I did my due diligence. I shopped all the consultants and attorneys and accountants and got it lifted off the ground. But that takes time and definitely recommend people who are entrepreneurs that are interested in franchising their concepts to really be prepared for the long-term investment financially and just your time commitment too. So it is a long-term game, but it is one that I am confident will not only deliver my service to more areas faster, but with more precision and quality control and higher quality service.
One of the first things that we worked on when we started our initial engagement together, right, really helping you guys build out your brand new franchise website. Mm-hmm. And I remember when we met, you had some initial challenges in finding a reliable partner to help you develop your Sims website. Can you share like how finding the right partner has been crucial to, you know, your success?
I mean, if I can open my door and get my team in here, we could all advocate for having a strong, competent, resourceful marketing firm such as the one that you have with Social Circle. I mean, I cannot say such good things. And this is coming from someone who's worked with other vendors in the past. With all your vendors, I think it's really important that, again, you do your due diligence. And I think as entrepreneurs, sometimes we get fatigued with like the interviewing of suppliers or vendors. And again, this is why franchising is so great, because I go through that fatigue and my franchisees don't have to do that. Totally. But it is true, right? Like there's a bit of it that you're just like, okay, just get it done, right? And it doesn't always work out where the person you hire can get it done. So having the right people to support your stage of growth, your marketing efforts, your sales efforts. I mean, I can't stress enough how not to hire haphazardly. Mm-hmm. Like you really want to choose the right people, because again, it's an investment of your time you're making. Every time you interview a different vendor, a different supplier, a different partner, you know, you want to take the time to invest, because right, it's an investment. It's an investment of time, it's an investment of resources. And for businesses, those are finite. So working with the right people can make or break your business. I hate to say it. And I know that because I've had vendors that have put stress on my business because they weren't meeting their deliverables or they couldn't meet the deadlines, you know, and it causes stress, you know, having the right team around you. And it could take some time to find those people, you know, show yourself some grace, learn from your mistakes and keep chugging along to find the right people that understand what it is you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. And I feel like that is probably one challenge of running a business that other business owners understand better than other folks. Because I remember at the beginning of my business when I was trying to do it all myself, right? And people would always say like, can't you just hire someone? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, like that's so easy, right? Like just hire. Let me just Google it here. Person that understands my business concept and can execute on what my expectation is. That is not something that comes without a lot of foresight and frankly, some failure, right? So like, I'll admit, I've hired people that were not good fits because I was fatigued. Right. I was just like, please, anybody who's willing to help provide some sort of relief, come in. And then wasting your time, you're wasting your resources. And frankly, you're not any closer to the result you're trying to achieve. So yeah, I cannot say how important it is to surround yourself with people who can deliver on what it is you're trying to accomplish. And if they're not, also trying to cut your losses when you know they're not a good fit, I think also is like the other half of it, right? Yeah. So I'm sure we both can tell stories of like the client that we held on for too long that probably, you know, wasn't a good fit, or the vendor that we held on too long that wasn't a good fit, or the team member, right? So that also comes with learning.
Yeah, that is such a big one, because particularly in my corporate career when I was managing folks, it was always like I wanted to be that person who could really help turn the person around, right? And get them to where they need to be. And I want to be that person in my own business too. But the reality is I don't have the runway that I did back then, you know? So obviously, you know, you have to communicate and give people the opportunity to perform. But when it becomes evident that they just can't get there, you really do have to cut your losses, because there's a lot at stake.
It's so true. And that is very much a learned skill. And also, I feel like our bandwidth, right, is also sharper. Yeah. So if you're operating at a certain level and the people around you aren't, that also could be very difficult when you're managing people and teams and clients and locations and franchisees. So I agree. I think learning when it's a good fit, double downing, and then also learning when you're like, this is not a good fit. I'm so sorry. Happy to refer you in this capacity, but it's not a good fit for me, you know, and kind of parting ways is pretty important.
Totally.
And being gracious about it.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Always with grace, because I mean, they always could definitely be utilized for someone else. They could be a very perfect fit.
Exactly.
I think my next question is just the how do you do it all, right? Like the balancing act of being a busy mom with two young children, having a successful business and a franchise business at that. How do you sort of just balance all the demands of your professional life with your personal commitments?
Oh, that word balance. It's just such a, I like love and hate it, because I feel like so much of why I wanted to be an entrepreneur was about finding balance, right? Like I saw my father was an attorney. I saw the amount of hours, the travel and all these things that I was like, I don't know if that's quite in my wheelhouse. Like I want to be balanced, quote unquote. So here I am, fast forward 10 years later. And I think instead of searching for balance, because there's no such thing, I try to live my life by values and principles. So for me, my children are a priority. So if it's something that will take away from them or my spouse, I try to reevaluate, okay, if I'm willing to give my clients access to me 24/7 and be present for them 100% of the time, you better believe that I'm going to do that same for my spouse and my children.
Absolutely.
So that's number one. Finding balance. This is the part that gets me frustrated is like when I feel like I find balance, I've come up with the best schedule or the best routine or the best habits. And I'm like, this is amazing. My life shifts. My children's needs are different. My business's needs are different. And then that beautiful scripted routine doesn't exist anymore. And what you find, or at least I found, is I would get frustrated. I figured it out. And then now this is not working for me anymore. So I stopped focusing so much on like how to balance and more of like being gracious to myself to make sure that I am giving my business, my team and my family 100% of me. And that can vary at different times of the year. And just showing myself grace.
I love that.
Because if I were to sit here, like I wake up at 4:30, and I do, by the way. I wake up at 4:30 and I do two loads of laundry and I clean my dishes. I make my beds. I mean, these are all things that I genuinely do to try to give myself the idea of balance. But there's no balance. Just be gracious to yourself. And some days will be better than others. And other days are not so great. And I just keep trying to, you know, do the best that I can do and know that there's only so many hours in the day. There's always tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that being gracious is so, I actually wrote that down when you said that, because I think that is really, truly important. It's funny because I was talking to my therapist earlier today and she was saying, how are things going? And I'm like, oh, things are good. I'm knocking things off my to-do list, right? Which is great. But I overslept this morning. And so I'm thinking, ugh, today's going to suck, right? Because I lost an hour that I would typically use to work, right?
But that hour was yours.
Exactly.
That's that self-care hour. And I do feel like I will speak for women, I think generally, or maybe I shouldn't speak for women generally, but at least I'll speak for myself. I think that there's a lot of guilt that comes in self-care. And just like you could look into your own business. Like you fill your business with resources that it needs to move forward. Like I need to fill myself with some of those resources, mm-hmm. right? And that can mean sleeping in or taking a walk or going to the gym for 2 hours instead of one or going off your routine, not coming into the office one day. Like, hey guys, I'm just not coming in. I'm shutting off my phone unless it's an emergency. Please don't reach out to me. And I would do that for my team members. Like if they need a day, like, do you?
Right.
I get that. Like we all need to fill our cup and that can mean different things for different people. So I think when you're managing a team and managing yourself with busy schedules, it's important to, you know, be kind to yourself first and foremost. I always tell my kids to be kind to other people. So I'm like, and yourself. You had a bad day. That's okay. Be kind to yourself. You were rude to your brother. We all are rude, you know, when we don't want to be sometimes. That's okay. Just learn from it and move forward.
I love that. That is great. To wrap up, I do want to ask you a couple of speed questions.
Oh, so fun.
It's always interesting just to hear how different people answer. So yeah. Whatever comes to you, just shout it out.
Okay. Go for it.
Okay. So the first one is, what's your favorite business book?
Business book. So many. I really liked Profit First. I'm going through like a financial growth literacy kick. I love Profit First. I also love Ray Dalio's Principles. I read it pretty much every other year. But there's so many.
Yeah, I know. It's a tough question. There's way too many.
So it's such a loaded question. It's like, what genre of business you want me to talk about? Because right. I have books for days.
So what is your coffee or tea order?
So we'll go with Starbucks, a grande latte oat milk with a half a pump of vanilla.
Oh my God, that's my order. That's my exact order.
Stop it. No, it's not.
I swear to you.
That's such a random. That's so funny.
Yes.
And if they put a pump, I know that they put a pump.
Yeah, because so I don't like too sweet.
Yeah,
you get a little bit of like, sweetness from the oat milk. But that it's so funny because I was at Starbucks yesterday and I'm ordering that. And as I'm ordering that, I'm like, do I need to switch up my order? I've been ordering this forever.
Never.
And for a moment, I thought if they have like a pistachio latte on the menu right now.
It's not great. I'll do you the favor. It's not great. I tried.
Okay, good. Thanks. Because it was like in my mind, I decided I was going to try it. But when he asked me what I wanted, I just blurted out my go-to. And I was like, okay, not today. Not today.
Not tonight. Today's not the day that I'm going to experiment on my Starbucks order. Yeah, no, I'm pretty faithful with that drink. I do change it up seasonally. So I do have a summer drink, a fall drink, and a winter drink, but that's my go-to. That's my OJ.
Nice. What are you binging right now on Netflix or another streaming platform?
Oh, God, what am I binging? True Detective.
I just started that last night.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. I don't know. I'm not like a huge TV person. I'm out by like 9 o'clock. So whatever grasps my attention for like 30 minutes, it's like whatever's on. But I am watching True Detective currently, and I do like it.
Yeah, I just started it. It's pretty dark, which I wasn't expecting that. But
are you watching the current season or like the first season?
I'm watching the fourth season.
Yeah, me too. So like people said like, oh, yeah, this is like a darker season, but I'm liking it. I'm into it.
Yeah, cool. And then what is your favorite travel destination?
We go to Mexico every year. My husband and I, again, talk about filling your cup. We made a promise before we had children that we would go away for 1 week, no exceptions, no kids. And we have been faithful to that. So we go to Mexico every year. I don't know if we'll change it up. We just love the food, the culture, the drinks, the weather. So Mexico, we love you. We'll see you next year.
Nice.
We just got back.
You guys have a particular place in Mexico or do you switch it up?
We do switch it up. We've gone pretty much Cabo, Maya Riviera, Cancun, Tulum. We love Mexico. So I do not discriminate.
Nice.
In any part of Mexico, we will go anywhere. Just take us. Even during COVID was the only time we traveled to Puerto Rico, which I do love too, because it was just easier to travel there than Mexico at that time. But yes, we love it there. I don't know. We're creatures of habit. Eventually, for us, we said that our family vacations will explore with the children. Mm-hmm. But for us too, we just want to be on a beach. We like what we like.
I love it.
And don't want to be bothered for a few days.
I love it. It's great. Yeah. Me and my husband, we go to the Caribbean a lot. And
where do you guys go?
We switch it up, but our faves are probably St. Martin. Carousel is a popular one. I think those are the two. We've gone to St. Lucia a few times, but like,
oh, I'm dying to go to St. Lucia.
Yeah, those are the ones that we typically go to. And sometimes I feel a little guilty, like, ooh, should we go back? Because like at Carousel, we fell in love with the resort. We fell in love with the room. And we're just like, I want to go there. I want to stay in that room. Like, I want everything to be the same. And sometimes you can really just maximize your vacation when it's like that because
yep.
You already know what to expect. Whereas if you go somewhere new, you kind of have to figure out like, oh, what's the vibe? Where are we going? What are we doing? And I think it depends like what you're looking to get out of your vacation too. If you're just going to like relax, then like having that comfort of we know the land is super helpful.
That is our feeling exactly. For the purposes of this vacation, where it's more of like lounge, sleep in, that's definitely our vibe. And I do feel like it does fill my cup. I come back to work. Actually, I just got back. So today's my first day back in the office. And I know I need it. You need to disconnect. And hopefully, as you grow your companies, you have a team that you can rely on to allow you to disconnect because it's such a gift, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Marina. Before we go, you want to tell people where they can find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So my company is called Your Swim. We are a swim instruction aquatics management franchise based out of New York. You can find us online at yourswim.com or our franchise website at swimmingfranchise.com. I'm also on Instagram. I promise that I'm going to be more active. You can find me at Definitely Marina and Your Swim.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Marina. It's great having you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to Hustle with Purpose. If today's stories and strategies inspired you, please leave us a review and share the podcast with fellow entrepreneurs. Want more resources and insights? Head to socialcircleinc.com and let's continue the journey together. Until next time, keep hustling with purpose.